In 1920, Unitarian was a European-American religion that appealed primarily to educated people in the middle and upper middle classes of the United States. The most famous Unitarian was William Howard Taft, a leader of the progressive conservative wing of the Republican Party in the early 20th century, and the only person in the history of our country to serve as President of the United States and later as Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Taft, growing up, was an active member of the Unitarian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and at the end of his life, when he was on the Supreme Court, was an active member, coming every Sunday to All Souls Unitarian Church in Washington, where he would be occasionally invited to teach the children in religious education. Back then, the Unitarians had a monthly magazine that they sent out from Boston with news about the Unitarian movement. They called it the Christian Register. One day in 1920, a 27-year-old minister of the African Methodist Episcopal Church in Collingwood, Ohio, noticed the magazine. Years later, he wrote this: "I found it necessary to supplement my meager mission salary by being a mail carrier for Uncle Sam. One day, in the mail on my desk for delivery, I saw a magazine entitled The Christian Register. The word Christian caught my attention, and I opened it and glanced at the headings of the articles. I delayed delivering it for a couple of days in order to read the contents. I liked it. Then my good Methodist conscience took over, and at the delivery, I rang the doorbell and I made my confession. The lady of the house, a good Unitarian, answered, 'Why, help yourself. Read it all you want. I invite you to visit our church down on Euclid Avenue.' At the first opportunity, I did visit the Sunday morning service. There was a quiet, pervading atmosphere. The hymns and readings were appealing. The sermon was inspiring. I don't remember a word that was said, but I was very much impressed and had a strong feeling. This is the kind of church I would like to minister to. I guess I was one of those Unitarians who did not know it." The young man's name was Lewis McGee. I want to tell you about him today because he was not the first African-American Unitarian minister, but the first African-American Unitarian minister to be called to serve as the solo or senior minister of a congregation. Lewis was born on November 11, 1893, in Scranton, Pennsylvania. His father, a former slave, was an African Methodist Episcopal minister. The AME Church was the first African American religious denomination in the United States, founded in 1816. Lewis McGee followed in his father's footsteps. He graduated from Payne Theological Seminary of Wilberforce University in Ohio, the first independent black college in the United States. He graduated in 1916 with a Bachelor of Divinity degree. The African Methodist Episcopal Church ordained McGee in 1917. He became a chaplain in the United States Army. At the end of World War I, Lewis served as minister in small AME churches in Ohio and in West Virginia. Because these small churches paid almost nothing, McGee worked at other jobs, such as delivering mail, which led him to discover Unitarianism. Lewis McGee's biographer, the Reverend Mark Morrison Reed, writes that McGee liked the dignity of the Unitarian service. As an AME minister, he had never been comfortable appealing to his parishioners' emotions. He also found himself agreeing with the Unitarian theology, which was critical of traditional dogmatic religion. Yet he did not immediately resign as an AME minister. It was not until 1927 that he journeyed to Chicago to talk with a Unitarian minister and religious humanist, Curtis Reese. McGee said to Reese, "I've read your sermons, I've read about religious humanism, and I agree with what is said. I am a minister in the AME church, but I really want to be a Unitarian minister." Reese said honestly to Lewis McGee in 1927, "If you want to become a Unitarian minister, you will have to bring your own church." Lewis McGee remained in Chicago and became a social worker. While he was working, he took courses at the University of Chicago, at Loyola University, and Carthage College, where he graduated with a BA in social science in 1936. For 2 years, he served in AME Church in Iowa. Then he returned to Chicago, where he worked in AME churches there and in Gary, Indiana. Still, he was at heart a religious humanist. And in 1941, he began 10 years of service on the board of the American Humanist Association. He kept this work on the board of the American Humanist Association secret from his AME congregations. In 1943, Reverend McGee re-enlisted and became a chaplain in the United States Army. He served in Wales, England, France, Belgium, and finally Germany, leaving the Army in the autumn of 1945. Serving as a military chaplain in the Second World War, Lewis McGee made a decision. He decided he had to assert himself and become the minister that he really wanted to become. He wanted to talk in sermons about his belief in humanism and not say only what was acceptable to his traditional Christian congregations. So he returned to the United States in the autumn of 1945, and he married Marcella Walker, a Chicago librarian. It was the second marriage for both. In September of 1946, at the age of 53, he entered Meadville-Lombard Theological School in Chicago to prepare himself to become a Unitarian minister. The white male Unitarian ministers again warned him that they did not think there was much opportunity for a Negro minister in Unitarianism. The president of Meadville-Lombard told him that because of his age, 53, and his race, African American, the prospects of him finding a church would be very slight. Perhaps, they said, after graduation, they could secure him a position as an assistant or associate in a large urban church. Because in the 1940s, no existing Unitarian church wanted an African-American minister, Lewis and Marcella decided to found their own church in Chicago. They talked to their African American friends. They put together a mailing list, and they started to send out announcements of meetings. With a core group of about 20 persons, the new congregation started. Marcella's family was well established in Chicago. Her family joined the church. Marcella also had contacts through her job as a librarian at a branch of the Public Library of Chicago. Several people from the library were among the early members. They, in turn, reached out, visiting other liberal-minded African Americans, and invited them to join. By 1948, 50 persons had pledged to become members of what Lewis called the Free Religious Fellowship. April 25, 1948, the American Unitarian Association officially recognized the church. June 13, 1948, the members of the church installed Lewis McGee as their minister. He was 55 years old. Lewis's children from his first marriage were grown and on their own, and Marcella's daughter, Joan, was also on her own. Her income as a librarian, Marcella's income as a librarian, enabled Lewis and Marcella to survive financially. News articles about the Free Religious Fellowship appeared in major African American newspapers, in the Chicago Defender, and later in the Chicago Sun-Times. Meeting in rented space, the congregation grew to 98 adult members and 25 children. Lewis tried to attract people of all races, people of all economic backgrounds, but most of the new church's members had attended college, and a significant number had attended graduate school. Most had left the AME church when science raised issues the church could not answer. These people formed an African-American middle class, and Unitarianism attracted them. They welcomed the religious humanism of Lewis McGee's sermons. When it came time for social action, Lewis McGee became a member of the American Civil Liberties Union in Chicago and the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. The sermons were on the philosophy of religious humanism. Lewis's preaching style was reasoned, intellectual, and restrained. There was no shouting. One Sunday in 1953, he preached, "Unitarians believe in individual freedom of mind, heart, and conscience. We believe in the supreme value of the human person. We believe in the use of reason in religion. We believe in the human capacity to solve individual and social problems and thus make progress. We believe in a continuing search for truth, and hence that life is an adventurous quest. We believe in the scientific method as valid in discerning factual knowledge. We believe in democratic process in our human relations, and we believe in ethical conduct." This was a humanist message, a message no other African American minister in Chicago was preaching. In 1953, at the age of 60, Lewis and Marcella left the church that they had founded so that he could accept a better paid position in Yellow Springs, Ohio, as the administrative assistant of the American Humanist Association. At this point, although African American Unitarian ministers had started churches like the Free Religious Fellowship in Chicago, and although churches had called clergy of color to serve as assistant and associate ministers, no church had called a Unitarian minister of color to serve as its solo minister or the senior minister of a Unitarian congregation. The Unitarian Church in Flint, Michigan came close to being the first in 1956 when they invited Lewis to be the candidate for their position. However, when the congregation voted, Lewis did not receive the two-thirds vote necessary for a call. Unable to find a church of his own, Lewis accepted a call to be the associate minister at First Unitarian Church in Los Angeles. 3 years later, in 1961, at the age of 68, Lewis McGee became the first African American to be called to serve as the solo minister of a white Unitarian church. The members of the Chico, California Unitarian Fellowship voted to call him to be their minister. Chico's about 90 miles north of Sacramento and has about 100 members in its Unitarian Universalist congregation. 1961 was also the year that the Unitarians and the Universalists merged to form one association. After a year at Chico, Lewis served for a year at the Anaheim Unitarian Church, for 2 years at the Universalist Church in Pasadena, and a year at the Humboldt Unitarian Fellowship in Bayside, California, about 300 miles north of San Francisco. In 1965, he joined with hundreds of Unitarian Universalists traveling to Selma, Alabama, to march for voting rights. And then in 1966, he retired at the age of 73. Lewis and Marcella moved to Maryland in 1971. One of Lewis's children from his previous marriage and Marcella's daughter from Marcella's first marriage, Joan, lived in the area. Lewis and Marcella became active members in Cedar Lane Unitarian Universalist Church in Bethesda. Lewis McGee died in 1979 when he was 85, but Marcella continued to come to church in Bethesda every Sunday, often with her daughter, Joan Harris. I arrived to serve as senior minister of Cedar Lane Unitarian Universalist Church in 1993. And the first week I was there, I had an hour meeting at their request with Marcella and her daughter Joan. Together, they sat in my office and told me the story I have just told you. Although Marcella was disappointed that there were not more people of color in our congregations, she was deeply committed to Unitarian Universalism. And I felt deeply honored to serve as one of her ministers. In that church, Marcella always sat in the same place. It was over on this side of the sanctuary. She sat about five rows back near the window in Bethesda. Towards the end of her life, she would come to church with a walker, and her hearing became weak. Her voice remained strong, but she could not hear well at all at the end. But she came every Sunday, and when we did a responsive reading like we did this morning of Martin Luther King, Marcella, holding the hymnal, would be one or two words behind the rest of the congregation because her hearing was not good, so that the congregation would finish a sentence and then loud and clear, Marcella would finish saying the last two words as her own solo to the rest of us. For me, this became part of the liturgy of this church. The congregation saying the words together, and then Marcella finishing at her own pace. I liked her slow, steady voice each Sunday. She died in 1997, and I was honored to celebrate her life in a memorial service. Her daughter Joan died in 2006. When Louis McGee became a Unitarian minister in the 1940s, he was only one of two people of color in our ministry. Today, there are at least 112 people of color in our ministry, and there are approximately 60 persons of color, many of them women, in seminaries preparing to be Unitarian Universalist ministers. This includes outstanding religious humanists who are following in the tradition of Louis and Marcella. When I was in seminary in the 1970s, the president was a white male, a wonderful man, a great teacher. But I'm proud to say that today, that same seminary that I attended in the 70s, 40 years ago, the president is now a wise and capable African-American woman. Today, my old church in Bethesda, where Louis and Marcella were members in the last years of their lives, today that church has as its senior minister a person of color. If we watch the news these days, it feels like a dark time for race relations in America. But Unitarian Universalists are making progress. Louis and Marcella would be delighted to see this progress, and they deserve credit and thanks for getting us started on the right path. To help us explore our feelings about race in this church, we are going to have an Embrace Diversity workshop series during the months of February and March, described on the back of our order of service. In my previous churches, when we've had similar workshops, the people who attended told me that they were the best experiences that they had ever had in the church. So, I encourage you to attend some or all of these workshops. Each Sunday morning, I remember my friend Marcella. My memory of her reminds me to treat every human being with worth and dignity. I try to be true to the heritage that she and Louis handed down to all of us. I want to end with the words of my friend and colleague, Mark Morrison Reed, the man who wrote the biography of Louis and Marcella. Last spring, Mark wrote, "The time in Unitarian Universalism when black lives didn't matter has passed. Nonetheless, change is generational. It is incremental, and it is bruising. It comes, but not necessarily on our own time schedule. We have fallen short, and we will again. And when we do, we need to pause and pray and ask ourselves, what does love demand of me? And then stand up and try again. Impatience is not what sustains us, but rather dreams, hope, work, and companionship. The chance to pour out our life for the faith, principles, and people whom we value."